Welcome again to our study in Luke's Gospel. This time we're in chapter 16. And it starts off with a very deep theological truth, something that we must consider and something that we must reflect about. And basically, it's the Lord speaking to his disciples. And he said there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And this rich man accused the steward that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said, "How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." Well, now, the steward was a very important position. He was a chief servant of rich men, and he was responsible for all the goods of his master. And he had men under him, and so it's a position of prestige. So here the steward says within himself, "What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away my position, my stewardship." And he said, "You know, I cannot dig. And to beg, I'm ashamed." But he said, "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called everyone who had a debt and said, "Well, how much do you owe my Lord?" And one said, "Well, 100 measures of oil." And so he said, "Well, sit down quickly and write out 50. And someone said, "Well, 100 measures of wheat." He said, "Take thy bill and write 80. And what he was doing was trying to win the favor of those who had a debt to the Lord. And in actuality, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. And the Lord makes this comment that the children of this world are wiser in their generations than the children of light. And in a certain sense, we can learn a lot from the wisdom of this world, the wise of this world. For they know what to do in times of emergencies. And so now Jesus is saying, "Make to yourselves friends of mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations." I don't like this actual verse, because it says, "When ye fail." Well, that's the one thing a pastor doesn't want to do himself, and it's the one thing he doesn't want any member of his congregation doing, failing. But some do. And you know, I've seen people who have once walked with God, and they've turned aside, and they've made friends with people who are sinners. And the result has been, you know, when they've left the pathway of righteousness, when they, you know, in suffering or difficulty, then these people become their friends and look after them. Because I would say, better not fail. and fail. But Jesus said, when ye fail, that ye may receive you into everlasting habitations. But then he speaks on faithfulness. And that's something I'd like to spend a few moments with you on. The degrees of faithfulness. Exactly what the Lord says about faithful. Because you know in the book of Revelation, he makes this point, that those that are with the Lamb are called, chosen, and faithful. And Jesus said, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. Well, there are the three categories. Being called of God, we must be called of God, we must respond. And then we must live the life that we are chosen by God. Chosen by God. And then, finally, we must be faithful. We must be faithful. Well, here we are. He that is faithful in that which at least is also faithful in much. And that, interestingly enough, is how CEOs and managers judge people for promotion. You know, a young man is accepted into the firm, and perhaps he starts by sweeping the floor. Well, the interesting thing is this. The manager will watch him, and the diligence that he uses in sweeping that floor, cleaning the places that is allotted to him. You know, the manager notices that, with the result that he eyes a person who is diligent in doing those little things, and he earmarks him for promotion. And it's the same as you go up the ladder. You know, as one is indeed faithful in that level that you are in, then God promotes you to a higher level. Well, the one that is faithful in that which is least is also going to be faithful when he's going to be given responsibility for much. So that's point number one. But he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. A person that is not just in little things, that's a person you stay away from, because that person, you know, has that attitude, that person has that flaw in their character. That will indeed manifest itself in higher positions. So you never promote a person like that. And then, if ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Well, obviously, the most important thing in life is to be, have the Lord put you into the ministry and have the Lord commit to you the various, shall I say, treasures of his word, that you become a teacher of righteousness. But that is predicated on you being faithful in the things of this world, in the natural. And God so often puts a person into a position in the secular world and judges him, that if he's faithful in that, the Lord said yes, that same person will be faithful in the things of the Spirit. See, well, that's one thing that God wants, is faithfulness. Faithfulness. He can rely on that person. That is so important indeed. And then another thing. If ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And here is another position that we are placed in. You know, we are not given, shall I say, our own church. We're not given our own business. But we have to work for somebody else first. We have to become an assistant pastor or a deputy in a fellowship or something like that. And then that determines in a very real sense whether or not God gives us our own inheritance. And so that's a point that I want to bring out. You know, are you faithful in another man's vineyard? Are you faithful in another man's business? Are you faithful in another man's church? You see, that is a determining factor. And all these things must be meditated on, because these things determine whether or not we indeed are promoted in the kingdom of heaven or we are promoted in our secular life. Because all authority comes from God, as Paul brings out in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. He said, there is no authority but that which comes from God. And so it is to win God's approval, if I could say that. Well, we move on. And in verse 13, the point that the Lord makes here is this. No servant can serve two masters. And that is a very important factor. You know, some people are spies. Some people, you know, seek to, like in the last World War II, some people were seeking to spy out for the other side. But you can't serve two masters. And sooner or later, you know, that comes up. You had to make a decision. You know, who are you serving? And for us, it was the Nazis or the Allies. And you can't serve both. And those people virtually all lost their lives because they were trying to serve two masters. And this is the thing that Jesus brings out. You cannot serve God and mammon. And that's a point that we have to meditate on for a moment or two here. Look, we cannot serve this world and at the same time serve God. And so we've got to determine where our heart lies. Does our heart lie? Is our treasure in heaven or our treasure in this world? And you know, we have nothing in this world. You know, I was contemplating some situations that have arisen just recently around us, and people are buying houses. Well, they say that house is mine. Well, that house is yours only as long as you live. Afterwards, it becomes somebody else's. You look at this life. You know, people try and acquire pieces of art. They seek to acquire jewelry and so forth. They say, it's mine. But you know, when they die, it becomes somebody else's. There's nothing of permanence in this life. And people, you know, seek to acquire things that they've got to relinquish at death anyway. What have you got? Nothing. But you see, with God, if you, you know, seek to acquire spiritual truth, if you do those things that lead to good works, works of righteousness, they are things that are waiting for you in the kingdom of heaven. And so I would encourage you to contemplate these things. Are we looking to acquire things that in the end we must give up? Or are we looking to acquire things that will be of permanence and will be waiting for us, the rewards which will be waiting for us in heaven above? Well, You see, the Pharisees were very covetous, and the result was they, of course, sought the things that are below, not the things that are above. It's very foolish to be covetous and seek to acquire those things that are earthly, because we've got to give them up anyway. Well, now Jesus comes to eternal things, and he speaks of the law and the prophets. He said the law and the prophets were until John the Baptist, and since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses into it. And that's another truth. You know, we have to press in to the kingdom of God. We have to seek earnestly the things that are God. We have to seek God himself earnestly, and we have to use all our strength to press in to the things of God. He presses into it. Now, he then mentions a thing that in verse 18 that is very prevalent in our days. He said, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. Whatsoever marrieth that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. Well, there have been articles recently in the newspapers about adultery. I don't know if you knew this, but in many states in America, it's a crime to commit adultery. And in a certain sense, that's a fact, isn't it? It is a crime. It's a crime against the person, it's a crime against society, and it's a crime against God. And God said, you know, whomsoever God hath put together, let no man cast asunder. And being a pastor, I have a lot to do with people who commit adultery and, you know, divorce and remarriage. And the result is, you know, I've been told time and time again by people who divorce and remarriage, they say, I wish we'd never done it. It hasn't brought the happiness that I thought it would. And I've had fathers who have said to their older sons, you know, I made a terrible mistake in life by divorcing your mother. I should have stayed with her. See, so these things are very important indeed. And adultery, of course, is a breaking of the seventh commandment as well. Well, we're now going to look at something that's very important indeed, when it will absorb the rest of the verses of this chapter. And it concerns a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen. And one of the things, you know, in the teachings of Jesus is the fact that these parables aren't necessarily the figment of his imagination or his thoughts or his mind, but they are actual occurrences that he knows of, because after all, he's the Son of God, he knew everything. And so we're looking at something that's not a parable, but it was an actual fact that took place. A rich man, and I think some call him Dives, but anyway, he was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And then there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. And so we have the two, the rich man on one side and the poor man on the other side. And so in this life, the rich man had everything, the poor man had nothing. Well, what happened? The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. But where did he go? He went into hell. And hell is very, very real indeed. And in hell, he was in torment. And sometimes, you know, in hell, you can look right into heaven above. And you can see the joys of those in heaven, whilst experiencing the terrible torment of hell. And this was the case with the rich man. He could see right into heaven, and he could see Father Abraham and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out. He was in torment. And said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now, I've known of people that have had actual visions of this situation. And I'll give you a short account of one of them. And it was that someone saw this rich man, and he was absolutely encompassed in a flame. And one of the things that one has to understand, that the flame of hell is far more intense and greater than any flame or any fire here on earth. And so this fire was around him. But you see, another factor is this, that fire could not consume him. He couldn't disappear. There he had his body, a spiritual body, and he was feeling this heat. And also, you know, he asked that Lazarus put a drop of water upon his tongue. Why? Because in this vision that somebody had of this rich man, and every time he spoke, flames came out of his mouth, and the torment of his tongue was tremendous. Well, Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And so that is it. You either have it in this life, or the next life. And you've got to be very careful. You know that you make sure that you store up good works for eternity and don't have your reward here. Otherwise, you'll be in hell. And so he said, but now he is comforted, thou art tormented. And he said, there's a great gulf between us, and we can't come to you, and you can't come to us. And now he is very concerned. The rich man is very concerned. And his concern is this, about his five brethren. He said, send Lazarus to them, that he might testify, you know, to my brethren, and that they may repent, and they not come to this place of torment. Now then, there's something here that's very interesting. You know, he didn't ask to be released from hell. Why? Because he knew that once in hell, there was no getting out of hell. You see, it's given unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And afterwards, there is no change. We're either in heaven or in hell. And those in hell know of a certainty, they can't get out. They just can't get out. Well, so that's one thing But it's very awesome. And so Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Nay, Father Abraham, he said, if one went from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded that one rose from the dead. And so here Abraham is telling us the truth. And it's simply this, that if people do not believe the Bible, they wouldn't believe even if somebody came from the dead. And so this is the book that's going to determine whether or not we go to heaven or hell. It's going to determine that if we embrace the truths and if we believe the truths in this word, then we will go to heaven. But if we don't, we're going to hell. And what does this book say? It says this, ye must be born again. And if you will ask God to forgive you your sins and to come into your heart, you be born again. The word of God gives us an assurance that we will go to heaven. And so I plead with you, believe what the Bible says. And you're only going to know what the Bible says by reading the Bible. So I may conclude by saying, read the Bible every day, pray every day, and go to church. God bless you.